Welcome back, guys. DGS 405. It's pretty hot out there.
Oh, yeah. Only in St. Louis. 90 degrees and the wind's blowing 90 miles an hour. Right? Like we live in a matchstick.
Blast furnace. It's crazy. We have Kurt Barr and Alvin Reed here, two of our favorite guys. This is a fairly stale topic, but I've heard such diverse opinions on it, and I think it's kind of a Rorschach test for society. The place kicker for Kansas City, Butker, and the address that he gave and talking about a true vocation and his wife, and he's so blessed, and you stay in the kitchen. And I know you think you're going to go out and do great things, but the greatest thing you can do is to be a mom. And a lot of people responded, oh, this is 1950s BS, and you're a monster, and this is everything that's wrong with America, and toxic masculinity. And then I happened to watch Bill Maher over the weekend, which I rarely do, and he said, I don't get it. I don't get the big deal. He's a Christian, he's a conservative, and he's just saying this is my idea of the way life should be. I don't blame the guy. I have no problem with it. I'm intrigued by different people's reads on this. Alvin, how about you?
Well, I mean, you're speaking at Benedictine College, and for those of us who have lived and worked in Arkansas, I mean, you know, it's not unusual for the keynote speaker or the commencement speaker there to maybe have a similar message. I think if I'm a young lady and I'm graduating from college, on that day, I don't necessarily want to hear those words. But, I mean, if this is what he believes, and to me, I'm just like, well, I mean, that's what he believes, and that's where he was at. And, you know, he didn't come to the locker room and you know, get in somebody, woman's face who was reported, said, like, you ought to be at home, you know, take care of the kids and have kids and all that. So I'm kind of like, all right. I mean, I don't believe that.
Yeah, so but, you're kind of where Bill Maher was.
Yeah, like, all right. And as I've, you know, some people said, like, and, you know, tomorrow you might say, you know, dinosaurs was running around here 2,000 years ago. I wouldn't get upset about that. I'd say, you're kind of wrong, dude. But if you believe that, then I, you know, that's all I, that, and I'll add one thing, and this is not meant to be insulting, but I've said this many times. Do not go to athletes looking for the most best judgment and comment. I'm just, I was an athlete. It's just one of those things, you know, that people become stars in a sport, and for some reason we think everything that comes out of their mouth is supposed to be, like, knowledgeable. And I'm not saying that this wasn't unknowledgeable. This is what he believes, but I'm just like, always consider the source.
Yeah. Kurt?
So my thought, the reaction, the negative reaction to his speech saying that he should be fired, I think is over the top. And that stirred another reaction of, you know, especially a large Christian conservative group saying, no, we support him. We support what he said. But then I actually read what he said and, you know, not being Catholic. I mean, he went like crazy conservative Catholic. And as a good Protestant, I'm like, I don't support that. Like, I'm like, you know, a lot of my Baptist friends, I think if they actually listen to what he said, they're like, no, we're Protestants for a reason. I mean, he went hardcore court Catholic on a number of things. I'm like, you know, people are saying, no, we're supporting him. But had they heard what he said in a pulpit, they would have said, this guy needs to go. He should not be in a Protestant church. Mm. But I do think Alvin's right. I mean, we're asking for an athlete to give his opinion at a commencement. Now, should he have told a bunch of girls, hey, you just spent 4 years working on a degree that you shouldn't have because you should be home? And that's kind of like, not the right place to make that message. Mm-hmm. Is he allowed to have that? Is he allowed to say that? He is. But I'm just shocked at, you know, all these people saying, no, we support him. But if they listen to what he actually said, no, they really wouldn't be supporting what he said. They just support that he has right to say it.
And I think that either she might be the CEO of University of Kansas Health, or one of the higher ranking people there. And they're one of the biggest sponsors of the Kansas City Chiefs. So when they're out at, you know, these functions that the biggest sponsors are at with the team, I mean, if she came over and said, like, you know, I have kids and I make, you know, $5 million a year and I was able to do all this. I mean, is your message to me the same? I think he would have to answer that and find a way to answer that. But I don't think anything he said should be, like, basically held against him. I don't, like I said, dude, you can kick. And your biggest problem is if you miss too many kicks. Then Eric said, like, you know, you need to get off that Neanderthal stuff and kick the ball. You know, the reaction would be just wild that way, too.
When do you think people cross the line? and like, oh, they need to fire that kicker. Because I agree, if you're just giving your personal opinion, especially if it's supportable, and I know lots of Catholics, and for the most part, my experience not being Catholic is most of them are just cool, and they don't know a lot about the Bible, right? But then the ones who do are very devout, very intransigent about these are my beliefs. And so there are millions of people who he was speaking for.
Yes, and I'm not Catholic either. My sister married a gentleman years ago who was Catholic, and she converted. You know, she's not what I would call a zealot, but she practices Catholicism. However, it's what we call it, a Joe Biden kind of Catholicism, you know, or and so I'm kind of like with you. I'm not Catholic. There are things about it that, not religion-wise, but reaction to certain things, I think everybody knows what I'm talking about, is wanting, is lacking, is bad. And I'm not blaming all Catholics for that, but I'm just saying that in the pursuit of what you believe, sometimes you have to, you know, take the blinders off. I was baptized a Baptist. I go to United Methodist Church, not because of the message, but because God and I came to an understanding that I can't go to church for 2 hours anymore. And he said, dude, I salute you,
neither,
Alvin.
He's like,
at least you go, right?
So let's switch to Missouri politics. Yeah. I don't know nearly what you guys know about Missouri politics, but here at the end it got kind of exciting, so I was paying attention. But it seems like, talk about anticlimactic. There was a lot of fireworks, but it doesn't seem like much got done for the people.
So they passed 46 bills. Truly Greed finally passed 46 bills. Half of those is the budget. The budget is bills 1 through 20. Those are all the budget bills. So they only passed 26 bills dealing with policy at all.
How does that stack up?
Generally, the legislature passes about 120, 100 to 50 bills. So they did half to a third of the number of bills they normally pass.
What was the reason?
So early on, the Freedom Caucus, the seven most conservative members of the state Senate, they decided that they would flex their muscle and start filibustering a number of bills until they got certain things that they wanted done. And then the very last week, the Democrat Party, they finally actually had to work, because they, you know, the Democrats had the conservatives killing everything until the very last week, and then the initiative petition to change how future initiative petitions are approved for the Constitution, that came back to the Senate with language that went from all citizens can vote to only citizens can vote. That ballot, what they call
which
ballot
was already,
language.
Yeah.
So that came back, and then the Democrats, you know, they had promised, hey, if this language comes back with that word on it, we're going to filibuster. It came back, they filibustered, and then eventually that shut it down.
Did anyone win this?
I think the Democrats won.
Okay.
I would say, by the way, I was seeking comment for Story tomorrow, which will be Thursday, St. Louis America, just at the beginning of the week, saying like, kind of like, I'm not saying, you know, Democrats won, but it seems like not a lot happened, which is kind of like a win. I just think, I mean, Tashara Jones won.
Yeah, tell us about that. How
still got the police force. You know, that. You know, Sickle was hanging over that whole thing, and for the second year in a row, never did come to a vote. That's because I think a lot of people in the House and Senate don't want any part of the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department. I think that, well, reproductive rights people won, because I think whatever is on the ballot, I believe, would have passed anyway in November, but now it's got the same path to passage as all other states have had, and I think that's going to happen. I think that the Freedom Caucus, in a way, lost in that on that final day when they're saying, like, if this happens or that happens, it's the Senate's fault, where most of you all are in the House, that's your fault. It's just, you know, it's the finger pointing is not backed up by any factual evidence. So that's basically it. But I'm not saying anything that I think that people didn't, you know, already know. I didn't realize that they only passed about a third of the bills that normally get passed. I knew it was less, but when you put the numbers like that, I mean, we pay for that. We as Missourians pay for that, and that's disastrous. That is people not doing the jobs, not getting the job done. And maybe it's because the governor is on his way out of office, and he was on the way to Italy, wasn't he in Italy the last week of the session? Oh, boy, you know, wish I had that job. In a way, it's just embarrassing. And I don't think people in other states follow other people's state legislatures, so I don't think there's any price to be paid, you know, when they go to their Republican convention or anything like that. But at the same time, seriously.
And people forget. When they're up for re-election, we have short memories. We're going to forget about
that. Very short memories, because a lot of them are going to be running.
So let's drill down a little bit, get a little bit in the weeds on this constitutional issue that they were fighting about at the end. My understanding is that it is a threshold of signatures that you would need to get something on the ballot that would change the Constitution. Is that long and short of it?
So SJR 74, which is the bill dealing with initiative petitions and their threshold. What it said is that the meat and potatoes of it is that for a constitutional amendment to be approved, it has to get 50% of the total votes statewide, but it also has to get enough votes in 50% of the congressional districts. So since we have 8 congressional districts, they have to get at least 50% in 4 of those 8. Now, obviously, you're going to have the St. Louis City and the Kansas City districts, you know, typically pass progressive, but then you've got the 6 Republican districts where you're going to, at least 2 of those are going to have over 50%.
So clever on their part.
Mm-hmm. So it was clever on their part to say, it really has to be a super Republican amendment to be passed for it to change the Constitution. But to ensure that it got passed, language was added to the bill to change the verbiage from all citizens may vote to only citizens may vote. Now, right now in law, only a citizen can vote in Missouri. And so it was called ballot county language, and the Republicans decided that they needed that language to get the positive vote in the August election so that it would affect
the
threshold. So
just whipping up the base with a red herring, basically.
Yes.
Is that very common, the ballot candy?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right, if you think about it, like Clean Missouri, so there was an initiative petition back in, 16 or 18, that said, okay, we're going to reduce the lobbyist gifts to like $5. And then that got passed. And then there was some problems with that. And so then the legislature passed Cleaner Missouri, where they said, well, we're going to eliminate lobbyist gifts altogether. Because at that point, a $5 gift is meaningless, so yeah. Why not? And so they were able to get the voters to pass something that changed some of the, you know, campaign limits differently that benefited them by limiting the lobbyist gifts altogether.
Is the legislature in Jefferson City beholden to anyone but voters?
Well, I think because of how your districts are, that's all you have to do technically is get reelected. I think it's worse than it is even, you know, like for Congress, in that most of your districts in Congress do have, while they may lean one way or the other, there is some party, neutrality. Maybe that's what I'm looking for. And so thus, you know, Bill Igoe could talk all the nonsense he wants to. He's probably going to get reelected in his district until he gets another job or, you know, something, you know, like that. So there is no price to pay, technically, as long as you're getting reelected.
So everyone goes home feeling like they did their job.
I don't know that they feel like that this time. I think they feel like we didn't get the things that we stood up, trumpeted, held the legislative session up for, didn't come to fruition. So they have to say that we failed. I mean, I would hope in some way they see it like that, but now maybe I'm just being Pollyannish.
Welcome back, 425 DGS Think Tank with Alvin Reed and Kurt Barr. So one last question on Missouri politics. What sort of, how would you grade Parson on his job as governor?
Oh, boy. The last 4 years?
Sure. Take it any way you want, yeah.
Average. No leadership. I hate it when people come back and say, we were talking on the break. I think if I was him about March, we'd have had come to Jesus meeting with Republicans, and so like, no, I'm not doing this.
Because he was critical of them, but he just didn't.
Yeah,
but he
never did anything. So yeah. I would have figured out something to start that water boiling.
What do you think, Kurt?
I think that, again, average. I mean, when he first became governor after Greitens left, he tried to do a special session, and it fell flat. And ever since then, he's never been able to lead the legislature. He's never really been able to corral his own party, the supermajority Republicans, to say, okay, guys, here's our vision for the state. He has been the governor for rural Missouri. He hasn't necessarily been the governor for Missouri. Hmm. And so I give him average.
Yeah.
We're talking about the presidential election on the break. If Biden loses, how bad will the Democrats kick themselves for not getting a Newsom or someone like that in there?
Well, I mean, it'll be shameful, because that'll be that's basically what it would come down to. The ebbs and flows of presidential politics are what they are, but I think this was just an opportunity to do better. And if you didn't learn from going on 8 years ago with who you nominate for president, then when are you ever going to learn?
Tashar Jones keeps the local control of the police department. Anything else of note going on in the city? Kurt, you were talking about a little earlier, Andrew, that for some reason this city is just a pariah politically, physically. It's really been kicked like a dog lately.
I mean, it's really simple things like trash service. I mean, just making sure that those simple basic services are taken care of, so that, you know, you go down the aisle, you go down the road, you walk past an alleyway. I mean, you get a whiff of stink, or you're like, this is a nice place. I mean, it's just those simple things of just good governance. And if the city can turn that around and just have good local governance on those basic issues, then
the kind of things we've been doing for a couple hundred years pretty well.
Right. And how many mayors out there, going back to Chicago, big cities, why'd you lose? Not crime, not this. You didn't do the snow right that time, or you didn't pick the garbage up. And people just said, like, I'm tired of this. I would use some of that money, Rams money, ARPA money. I would just throw it at projects
you
like that.
You and me
that.
Both, man.
And I had said, like, I'd raise the salary for police officers after they'd worked 5 years on the force, and see how many we did hire after that, and then tell, like, all of you all who wanted, you know, some more police and all that, they are there. They are out there working.
Your trash is getting picked up.
Your trash is getting picked up. So, all right, so don't get off my back, you know, as far as those things are concerned. I mean, those are things that I would do. I don't get that part either. The simple stuff. And it probably ain't simple, but that stuff.